Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Happy Target Demo Friday to you. Let us know how you're listening to the show, where you're at, and what you're doing on either Facebook or Twitter. And we will read through those coming up here later on in the show, about an hour and a half from now. Send it to us on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Coming up this hour on the show, Meraz is Up the Gut NFL Picks and his football food of the week. Also is Tasty, my Tasty Top 5, as I count down my college football picks for the weekend and my favorite games. Also, in about 40 minutes from now, number 12 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. We begin the countdown every day from here on out, the 12 most memorable moments of 2019. Today, number 12. I want to get to this huge game, Bills and Ravens, in just a few moments. But Bogish, during the break, tweeted at me, "Thank you for addressing this injustice, DA." And I just want to reset this before we get too far along here. In soundcheck, last segment, Meraz included audio of Bogish doing updates during Taz and the Moose this morning and Bilotti playing him off with music. Now, there's some controversy here, some disagreement about whether this was a hard network break or not. In the clip, you hear Bogish say, "It's not." And I said to Meraz, "That's not a network break." Meraz said it's not, but Bilotti says it was. So let's just clarify this before we get too far. Bogish, what's the point here?
So the point is, it is not a network break in that there is an absolute drop-dead time where we have to go to break, except for the fact that the hour ends at, I don't know what the exact time is, around the 54:45.
Past the hour is when we have to go hard to network break so that all of our affiliates can get their commercials in before the top of the hour.
The commercial break that we were trying to get to in that clip, though, is the one that precedes that end of hour break. Now, that second to last break is, I think, 5 minutes long. So if you do the math backwards, that break has to happen around 48. So the 5 minutes can elapse. You can come back, say, blah, blah, blah. This is Taz and the Moose coming up next hour. We've got this. Phone calls, and then you hit that last break.
Because hypothetically, if you hit that break too late, it would run into the network break.
Correct.
And then you're totally screwed.
So, but when the clock said 45, we still had plenty of time to finish my update or anything else we were talking about or Taz and the Moose had been talking about to go to break and come back with time to throw to that last break. The problem is Pete has decided that that last segment needs to have multiple minutes in it. And that's why he demands the 45 hard out, which is not really a hard out. It's for Pete's sake. It's not for actual computers and schedules and affiliates.
State your case.
First of all, I haven't decided that, Mr. Bogish. Why don't you go talk to Mark Chernoff? He decided that. Right from the beginning.
Okay.
So we were already technically 10 minutes away, 10 minutes past the break time when we're supposed to break.
Because you like to get to break at 30.
Not 30. No, no. In that show, 35. Ideally, you like to get out. 40 is a stretch.
I see. Okay.
Right. So, and they
35 or 40 past the hour.
But 45 is a stretch for you because that segment's supposed to be 10 minutes.
Bogus. We got that. That's supposed to be a segment you're coming back to.
Okay, but that's...
You're not supposed to be coming back to 2 minutes to say goodbye. Hello,
but that's,
hey, goodbye.
But that's somebody's decision. There's no actual punishment if that happens,
yes,
right?
Yes, our boss's decision that he made when the network started.
And that's fine.
So that's what happened.
And I guarantee you that if you did an inventory of all of the shows across this network, the amount of time that they hit that time correctly where they have a full 10-minute segment at the end of the hour is probably under 50%.
Well, I'm not in charge of them. You could go talk to their producers.
I will.
You know what? I do what I'm supposed to do. That's it. And if you have a problem with it, I've addressed this already with the people on that show.
Okay, so the thing is that, Bogus, you felt disrespected because you're basically having music played over you.
Right, and we had time still. We did have time. Like, we are technically or whatever, unofficially over this arbitrary timeout, but we still had time for me to read the other 90 seconds of my update that I was already cutting down because me and Taz and Moose had gone on this tangent that took up the time where I should have been reading the update
right,
in full.
Right, so it's my fault doing my job because they did what they had to do.
It is not your fault.
I don't care. Do what you want. You know, just run amok, all right? I'm just trying to do my job here, and you guys just blow. Let's just blow through everything. Let's just do whatever we want.
Okay.
All right?
Impartial Observer Mraz, was this a network break?
In the most technical sense, it was not a network break. To defend Pete and not all pile on Pete here, it is a little ridiculous to go to break and have to get 2 5-minute breaks in with 15 minutes left in an hour. So to Pete's point, I think he has a point in that it was time to break. Now to defend Bogus, all Pete has to do is get in Bogus' ear and go, Bogus, you got to hurry up here. We are way late. You
don't
have to drown him out.
Or how about, Pete did tell me at 40
I didn't get him at
45. He did do that. And it's not my fault. It's not Pete's fault. It'd be your fault if you did it. Taz and Moose talked a long time, and I was a part of that conversation. Like, we went too long, quote-unquote, in that tiny little instance. But my point is, no one was going to get fired. Marchrove was not going to come storming down the hallway if that one last segment was 2 minutes and not 11. And if someone was to get in trouble, it would not have been Pete.
Well, I'm sorry. Next time I won't try to make the show sound good in that regard. What I could do. I'll just let you guys do it. Run all over the breaks and just let it happen.
Will you get reprimanded?
Well, I'll tell
have
you.
Have you been reprimanded before?
For that?
For something
like that?
It's been
addressed several times. Not in recent time, but it's been addressed.
But were you ever scolded?
No, the show was told to take their breaks.
Right. So my point is, if anyone was to get in trouble, and they wouldn't have, it would have started with Mike Bisseglia, and then it would have maybe started with Taz and or the Moose. It would never have come down to Pete.
Okay.
And we were fine.
We have management now in the building. We have Dave Marinick.
HR's here too with me.
One of our leaders here, one of our fearless leaders. He is part of management. We're going to put him on the mic. Was the instinct by Pete to play off Bogus there the proper one, or was it disrespectful?
I think, D.A., that the instinct was proper.
Really?
I do.
Well,
I do think
that's
the instinct was... yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Bogus and I have just experienced a schism, and we are no longer... co-workers, friends, they have no relationship whatsoever. No, but to be truthful, and again, I hate to sound like I'm towing the company line and being as diplomatic as possible, DA, but they're both right. I mean, technically, yes, it's not a network break. It is not a network break by the letter of the law, but Pete is trying to execute the breaks as properly as he can and get the segment back to Taz and the Moose.
Is it kind of like Pete is an overeager cop that just wrote a ticket for going 62 in a 60?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, again, I suppose that's a fair statement.
Jaywalker? Is that what we're talking about?
So Pete is the worst.
Here's an analogy that I would prefer to use is when we're getting down to the, let's say we're in late August, early September of the baseball season.
Okay.
And, you know, is somebody actually still alive in the playoffs? Yes, but they're not mathematically eliminated.
The segment was still technically alive. It had not been eliminated yet.
That's correct. The magic number had not been reached.
Excellent. All right. Excellent. Thank you, Dave.
So I my won, pleasure, guys. Just to recap, is that what we're leaving with? I'm the winner? I'm right? No?
I think we're all losers here.
That's fair. The irony is we were so worried about that break time, we just spent 15 minutes on a Football Friday breaking this down.
You go to break now. Get back on schedule.
This weekend, you've got Lamar Jackson against this Bills defense. And to me, this is the biggest week for Bills football since the 90s. I know a couple of years ago, they needed the Bengals to win week 17 to get themselves in. That was kind of a miraculous, cool, out of nowhere. Wow, the Bills are back in the playoffs for the first time in nearly two decades. But if you really think about this, think about what's on the line this weekend for the Buffalo Bills. Number one, they're coming off that really impressive victory over the Cowboys that, again, might not be as impressive as we would have thought because the Cowboys are right now a sinking ship. But national TV, they didn't really have a quality win up until that point in time. People didn't really believe in them. And yet here they are on the road in Dallas, Thanksgiving, laying the wood to the Cowboys. Now, going into this week, the Bills play arguably the best team in football in the Baltimore Ravens. The Bills get the Ravens at home. They've got one of the best defenses in football. If the Bills defense does something nobody else can do right now, which is riddle Lamar Jackson, solve the riddle of him, if they can slow him down, if they can win this game, the Bills put their stamp on this league. Hey, our defense is good enough to go on the road and win. Our defense is good enough to be at home and win. Our defense is good enough to slow down the league MVP. We can do things nobody else can. I mean, even last week, the Niners couldn't pull the trick against the Ravens. At the end, they simply could not stop the Ravens' final drive, the game-winning drive, to set up the field goal. If the Bills do it, that's an enormous feather in the Bills' cap. You'd have to really take them seriously as a contender if they win this game against the Ravens, again, arguably the best team in football. But how about this? The Bills are 9-3. The Patriots are 10-2. And the Patriots get the Chiefs. If the Bills beat the Ravens on Sunday and the Chiefs beat the Patriots, the Bills are tied for the division lead with three to play. The Bills and the Patriots would be 10-3 with three to play. Now, the Patriots beat them head-to-head, but the Bills get a rematch to even the score. If the Bills beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens on Sunday and the Patriots lose to the Chiefs, both things are in play. The Bills basically set themselves up for an AFC East championship game against the Pats in Foxborough and are in line for a bye and are in line for the number one seed. You might have to go back to the mid-90s when there was still the thought that Bills team could get to another Super Bowl after four of them, to go back to a weekend that meant more to Bills football. You can go back to the 99 season, the Music City Miracle year, the Doug Flutie year, where they got to the playoffs. But in terms of one weekend that could define a season that everything was baked into it, this might be it. Bills, Ravens, Patriots, Chiefs, the one seed or a bye is on the line potentially if things break their way and they win. It's incredible. What a story. What a cool story. And I love the fact that the Bills have not only a great defense, but also an organization right now that is built the right way. Accountability, structure, discipline, identity. We know what we are. We know what we want to do. Everybody understands the expectations here. Yeah, they had an easy go at it in the division, well, with their schedule, rather, throughout this season. And let's face it, having the Dolphins twice, the Jets twice, helps you pump up your record if you're in the AFC East these days. But The Bills are also a really legitimate defense. Josh Allen has this kind of guts that I think really rallies his team around him. And I think those guys trust him. He's getting better, hugely strong arm. And they've got a chance to put their stamp on the league with the Ravens at home. At home. This is phenomenal. And the only disappointment is that this happens in the middle of the 1 o'clock window, so that so many people won't get this game unless you have Sunday ticket or watch Red Zone. But Bills, Ravens, Patriots, Chiefs is just an enormous crossroads for the division and for those two franchises. And who knows, maybe we come in on Monday, Bills will have lost, Patriots would have won, and the division's essentially over. But maybe it's the opposite. Wouldn't that be wild? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Mraz has his Up the Gut football food, Up the Gut football picks, and his football food of the week. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
We seem all over the map here with your priorities with Bogus.
You're taking unreasonable shots at his career aspirations.
This is a guy who would rather call a Blue Hens game than come and drink with us. That's a major problem.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000. There's a lot of that.
That's very good, Damon.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Valid point.
Okay, how long you been on the air, D.A.?
23 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you being with us at a fine Target Demo Friday. Let us know where you're listening, how you're listening, and what you're doing. And we'll read through those coming up here in about an hour and 15 minutes from now. Target Demo Friday on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDA Show. And on Twitter, D.A. on CBS. Just look for the meme of Jason Garrett staring blankly into space, wondering how much it'll cost to move. Also, 12 DAs of Christmas is here. Number 12 in 20 minutes. Number 12 in 20 minutes. Back in student radio in college, when we would have a broadcast team out on site, you would have an engineer back at the studio on a landline phone, because that was the only way they could talk down the line to the broadcasters. And so you'd have to give them a 20-second count, 20 seconds to come back from break, so that they timed it out and then just came back from break and began talking again. And so the engineer would have to always wait on the line, count down the clock, and yell, 20! And so now I feel like doing the same exact thing. How many minutes until the 12 DAs of Christmas commence? 20! How many years since the Bills have had a weekend as big as this? 20! We've got your Tasty Top 5 college football games of the weekend coming up here as well. Next hour, Mike Yam is going to join us from the Pac-12 Networks. We'll talk to him about this Pac-12 championship game tonight and how the dominoes must fall for Utah to get into the college football playoff and what it would mean for the conference. But first, it's time for Mraz's NFL Up the Gut Picks.
Puffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
Puffiness with sodium.
And Mraz is feeling extra puffy this morning. Mraz, what have you eaten before 10:30 a.m. local time?
Everything bagel with butter, a cannoli, a muffin, a double chocolate muffin, a handful of peanut butter M&Ms, and you have just brought in some meatball subs, so I had the equivalent of a meatball sub with two meatballs on it. It has not hit 10:30 a.m. Eastern, and I am over the limit of carbs for the weekend. So that's where we're at right now as the quest to lose 100 continues.
Mraz is 22-17 on the season, five games over 500. He's only a win up in the win column over Super Dave. But overall, five games over 500, so a very good season for him. We begin, though, after a 1-2 week with the Jaguars and Chargers. Where would you rather be than Jags and Chargers? The Jaguars are getting three, and it sounds like you're starting to get on board my Minshew Mania train.
Look, I'm a hypocrite. I'm an hypocrite when it comes to Gardner Minshew Mania. I was off the train. I said Nick Foles has to come back, has to lead his team to the playoffs. And going back to Nick Foles cost the Jaguars an opportunity at a wild card spot. Now the Chargers, who after that game versus the Broncos are dead as a doornail with that pass interference. Phillip Rivers probably riding out the string here at the end, and they look disinterested, disheartened. Now they're going to get on a plane and fly to Jacksonville to go play in front of 30 people in a swimming pool. I'm sorry. Jags getting points here. I think Minshew gives them a little spunk, a little something. I think they'll play with attitude, and I think their pass rush will get after Phillip Rivers. I think they win the game outright, and I'm getting points, so I'm going to grab them. Give me the Jags, plus three.
If I gave you a free ticket to this game, but you had to pay for your own food and beer, would you go?
No, no chance. You miss everything on a Sunday to go watch Jaguars-Chargers? You'd be an idiot to go.
And a couple of really good 1 o'clock games.
Excellent.
If I gave you free food and drink and a free ticket, would you go?
No. And by the way, I think this game's a 425-er. Oh. I think. Okay. I think it's up against Pat's Chiefs. Again, who wants to miss the AFC Championship rematch for this? No, you can't give me anything free. I'm out on this game.
Hmm. Interesting.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
I know who would be there. Colts and Bucks, another field goal underdog that you're taking. This one is in Tampa Bay, and you like Indianapolis plus the three.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett has hit a wall and fallen off a cliff, and I think ultimately Jacoby Brissett is showing that he's probably more of just the perfect backup quarterback. Win you games in spurts, look good in spurts, but not consistent enough. That being said, Tampa Bay in this roller coaster with Jameis Winston is so up and down. And last week, they get you the big win over Nick Foles. They score a lot of points. They shut you out. They look great. But they cannot put together back-to-back big weeks. And I think the Colts, who by virtue of winning out, still have an opportunity to grab that wide-open last wild-card spot, this is their last stand. They're going on the road. They're underdogs against a team they're probably better than. I am going to grab the Colts and Frank Reich to have his team ready and rebound versus a Buck team that can't stay consistent. Give me them plus the three.
AFC South kind of weekend for Mraz. And finally, Packers and Washington. Now, the Packers are a 13-point favorite. 13 points is a big, huge NFL number, and you still like Green Bay by nearly two touchdowns.
I do. Look, Washington last week, Dwayne Haskins somehow beat the Panthers to get Ron Rivera fired. You mean to tell me this Washington team, who, by the way, is not dead in the NFC East somehow with nine losses, they can
That's
win
insane.
Out and get it, which is crazy. They now, who after sucking all year, are going to go take care of business and beat Carolina and then play up to snuff in Lambeau in December versus Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I am not buying it for one moment. It might look ugly through the first half. Maybe this is a 17-10 kind of game in the first half. But ultimately, that fourth quarter, the Packers will run away. Lambeau leaps be bound. 13 points, no problem. This game is 30-14.
Mraz's three picks this week. Jaguars plus three, Colts plus three, Packers laying 13. Finally, the always undefeated football food of the week, except early in the season when Moose was very, very hard on him. But now, rebound. Mraz has had a very strong last couple of weeks, very strong last couple of months, in fact. And now he's going dessert.
We're going dessert. We've hit December.
This sounds very, very, very decadent.
It is decadent. And as the calendar turns and the weather gets colder and you get the fires going in the fireplaces, the football going, the warm fuzzy socks, I love to dish it out on warm sugars. You give me warm sugar, sucking both cheeks down. Oh, I love it. So, and you know what? What are you, if you pulled the room.
What are we talking about right now?
You're about to find out. We're talking about Oreo chocolate chip cookies, Bogish. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
My two favorite cookies combined. This is like when LeBron joined Dwayne Wade in Miami. Okay? You realize it's going to be tough to spot. This is Shaq and Kobe. They might be rivals and butt heads, but you will win multiple championships. All you have to do, you can make your cookie dough from scratch, or you can buy your typical Pillsbury, you know, Toll, whatever you're looking for. You get that cookie dough, you flatten it out, you're going to place an Oreo in the middle of it, take another piece of the prepackaged cookie dough, or just wrap it in the cookie dough for fresh, and basically you want the Oreo to sit in a Game of Thrones, sit on the throne of the chocolate chip cookie, and then cover it and close it. Almost like the Oreo is stuffed in that cookie dough. Then you bake it in the oven like you would a normal chocolate chip cookie.
It's almost like the nut inside the fruit.
Exactly. Exactly. So you put it in the oven. I recommend a 325. Now, a normal cookie bakes for approximately 10 to 12 minutes. This cookie, based on the fact that it will be thinner on the bottom and thinner on the top with that Oreo already done, I would recommend checking out that cookie in that oven in about 7 minutes. 7 minutes at 325. If you feel like it is still way too doughy, that's fine, but monitor it minute by minute. Do not let this burn. Then when you take it out, let it cool. Don't be rushed to grab it because that cookie will fall apart.
Huh.
Let it cool for approximately 15 minutes or so. You get out your spatula off the tray. What you will have is still a very warm, doughy, gooey chocolate chip cookie, and now the Oreo warmed up as if it's a fried Oreo as well inside, and you will get chocolate, you will get dough, you will get Oreo wafer, you will get cream, you will get impact in your mouth on every bite. They are high in calories, and you should probably only have two, but you could have 15 during the Pats and Chiefs. That is your football food of the week.
So you should only have two, but you could have 15.
Well, look, you're not going to stop at two. Put it, when that smell hits your house, oh.
Let me just ask you, are you building a cookie out of three cookies? Is it two chocolate chip cookies sandwiched on top of an Oreo?
Yes, depending, though, on the girth, the width, and the density of the actual chocolate chip cookie dough. You know, if it's a very thick one that you could flatten out and completely enclose the Oreo, then fine. But if it's not, then you're going to have to go two cookies. So essentially, yeah, you could get three cookies for every one, which is why they become dangerous.
Sure.
And by the way, a nice cup of milk goes well, too.
Yeah.
Goes well, too. Imagine dunking these in milk. Oh,
whoa,
come
so now
on.
It's a dip.
Now,
of course.
Oh, that's a good point. The milk represents the dip.
Mm-hmm.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
D.A., this does sound delicious.
But of course.
It also sounds like another thing Sean could have made and brought in for us to taste test here live on the show that he didn't. Bring in for us to taste live on the show.
When is that going to happen?
Well, last time I brought in food, everybody got sick. So I'm going to avoid that for the rest of the year.
So you've created a cookie out of three cookies.
Again, Bosh, Wade, and LeBron, right? Not one, not two, not three.
As you wrote in your Football Food of the Week recap, combining the two greatest cookies of all time is like when Jerry Rice saw Terrell Owens walk into the locker room in San Francisco. Sure, it may be tumultuous in that oven, but it is magic on the field.
That's the kind of stuff you get when you read up the gut.
Buttermilk Ranch.
Who says I'm not a writer?
Jerry wrapping himself around T.O. in this, in this equation.
Bacon, horse
Jerry's
radish,
the double whaler chocolate chip cookie dough.
And then sitting in front of the fire to bake together.
Hennessy.
When we come back, number 12 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. The countdown is here. What made number 12 of the most memorable moments of the year? It is next, plus my college football picks, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Dude has made himself what he is, a very successful broadcaster and entertainer that people are watching. Big DA House right here. Let the record reflect it. I respect him. I love the guy, and I like the way he handles his business.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Appreciate you, Jim. Appreciate you. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowner, renter, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all, geico.com. And on Sunday, another NFL on CBS doubleheader. Baltimore's MVP candidate Lamar Jackson takes his show on the road to Buffalo, followed by a rematch of last year's AFC title game when the Patriots welcome the Chiefs. It all starts with the NFL today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. What a pathetic puke effort from the Dallas Cowboys last night with their season on the line. That is a team that has quit. That is a team that no longer is listening to its head coach. That is a team that is checked out emotionally, which is kind of shocking, definitely startling, considering they still lead the division with 3 weeks to go. And you know, at the very least, week 16 against the Eagles is essentially a win-and-in game. They'll play an elimination game, a playoff game, basically, week 16 against Philly. So for them to no-show these last 2 weeks proves to you, proves to everyone, that Jason Garrett no longer has the respect of that locker room. They are playing out the string knowing he's as good as gone. It also shows that he does not have the ability to get these guys to play at their normal level, and so he deserves to be fired. But let me also say this. The fact that Jerry immediately takes to doing press conferences after all of these games only adds to the nonsense. No other owner has a weekly radio show. No other owner finds it necessary to do post-game interviews. Only Jerry. And when Troy Aikman earlier this week was asked, are the Cowboys in a better place than they were 5 or 10 years ago as an organization to win? And he said, no, I think it's worse. He was talking about this right here.
Losing, losing, losing.
Is Jason Garrett underwhelming as a head coach? Obviously. Does he need to go? Obviously. But what type of success can anybody have when the owner, after wins and losses, is immediately speaking outside the locker room, and after some losses, really upset, after other losses, really supportive, after some losses, sky is falling, after some losses, really optimistic? It's a joke. Jerry's a joke. Great business guy. But my God, has that guy's ego gotten in the way of all the success he could have had over the last 25 years? What a disgraceful performance last night by the Cowboys with their season on the brink. Take a deep breath, everybody. We climbed the summit. 12 months later, we sit here again. The culmination of year number 7 of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. We came to these airwaves as the overnight show in January of 2013, January 2 to be exact. And almost 7 full years later, we're still here. Different time slots, but for some reason, they keep promoting us, so we'll keep taking it. And this year was a doozy. The 12 Days of Christmas, once upon a time, was born out of commemorating really interesting interview moments, really interesting takes, interesting angles on sports opinions. And instead, all these years later, has morphed into the wackiest, zaniest, weirdest moments of the year. It is time for number 12.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Mraz is still be pushing buttons as a part-timer over there on the Fan. A lot of you be stuck on another 3 shows that the hosts hated one another. Right, buddy? You'd have been frozen out by 13 different morning show hosts by now.
15. Okay?
15. So I just want you guys to know how good you have it.
Where does the salt go?
In your french fries.
Exactly. You have no answer. You have funny wit.
So hot. Why do they make the salsa so hot?
I don't understand why he's not going bigger scoops of ice cream here.
Right. The adult in the room's going to get you 2-14 again and ruin Daniel Jones. The worst record since 2017. And that's on Pat Shermer. And that's on John Mara. 4 hours of sleep, pregnant wife at home for this garbage.
It hurts so bad. The door just totally smashed my fingers. I went to get the DA sign.
The door slammed on your finger?
Yeah, I swung it open.
The time is now. The place is here. And the whole wide world is filled with cheers.
Number 12 on September the 19th. Who was at the plate? Bogish was at the plate.
Number 12.
Bum, bum.
The Royals suck.
The heaviest guitar riffs with the heaviest baseball takes.
Bum, bum.
It's High and Tight every Monday with Andrew.
It was Wednesdays, but that would have been a good title too. High and Tight. Where were you? Oh, you
it's
were
a Collision at the Plate with Andrew.
Run
Bogus.
Me over.
It's Buster Posey's Collision every Wednesday. It's Jason Kendall's Ankle every Wednesday.
Welcome to Gruesome Dislocations.
Every Wednesday, we'll discuss the most grotesque baseball injuries ever.
That might have lasted. There's a market for that.
It's the March of Death.
Do you love Slayer and the Yankees?
Inside 80s hair metal and the A's bullpen. High and tight with Bogish at the plate. Watch Bogish snort red fire ants while breaking down the DH. It's Bogish at the plate.
Do you watch baseball in studded leather vests? Then this is the podcast for you.
On September 19th, 2019, we unveiled for the first time Bogish's open to his podcast. Once upon a time, when the network first launched 7 years ago, he was entrusted, employed to do a baseball weekly podcast called Bogish at the Plate. We had no idea about this. So Bilotti did some digging quickly and found the open. And it had such heavy guitar riffs, it led us to riffing on what the podcast really should have been about. Bogish is such a nice, mild-mannered, well-coiffed man, well-disciplined, polite. And here he is with the thickest guitar riffs for his baseball podcast. Number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas, Bogish at the Plate. All of the 12 DAs are available in YouTube form, in video form. So, Cap, the Wizard of Watch, DA.com. We'll have all of those on YouTube for you. So follow along with us throughout the 12 DAs of Christmas. Starts today, the next 12 episodes. We count down the greatest moments, the most memorable moments of the year. I love that one because I love the idea of Bogish in studded leather black outfits discussing the most aggressive aspects of baseball. And it's just the thickest guitar riff. It is a Target Demo Friday, so hit us up on Twitter or on Facebook and let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, how you're listening, and where you're at. And I'll read through those coming up here on the show in about an hour from now. But first, let's bring you your tasty top five.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top five.
I'm tasty.
Number five.
Conference championship weekend. We start in the Big Ten at number five. Ohio State take it on Wisconsin. This is going to be a Buckeyes boat race. Sorry, Scotty. I'd like to think this is going to be a close game, but I just think that Ohio State is playing at such a crazy good level right now. Coming off the thorough demolition of Michigan at the Big House. Now they're going to have probably more of their fans in the building than Wisconsin. At the very least, it's going to be a 50-50 split in Indianapolis. And Ohio State is going to lay the hammer, going to lay the wood. I just see it coming out. I don't think Ohio State's unbeatable in the college football playoff. I just don't think this is going to be any different than when they played earlier in the year, which was an Ohio State whitewash. So give me Ohio State by a big margin in this one, but it's your number five college football championship game of the weekend.
Because
it's just possible that Ohio State has some maneuvering in the college football playoff, depending on how they look in tomorrow night's matchup. I'm not even going to put the ACC title game in there because Virginia doesn't stand a chance against Clemson, not even going to be worth the watch. I'm interested by the championship game in the MAC, I should say the Mountain West, rather, at Boise, because Boise State's still looking for that group of five New Year's Six bid. But again, I don't think it's going to be close. I think they get Hawaii on their home turf at Albertson Stadium and Boise on the blue turf and the Smurf turf. I think that one's going to be a blowout as well, Boise by more than two touchdowns. And so number four is going to be the American. I'm all over the place here. Cincinnati and Memphis in the AAC conference championship game. I like Memphis in this game. They're a pretty heavy favorite, 9.5-point favorite, so this might not be all that close. But Cincinnati is well coached. They haven't lost many games this year, but it really came down this season to seeing if Cincinnati was up to the rankings that people thought maybe before the season. Where could they have been a real threat to some of the Power 5 teams. And they weren't quite that good, but they are good enough to be in the American's championship game. But Memphis is at home. They've only got that one loss. And I like Memphis to step up and get that victory again here in the American Conference Championship game.
Number 3.
Big 12. Baylor and Oklahoma. And I know that Oklahoma's the big favorite. I think Baylor wins this football game. I know that Baylor lost to them early in the season, but remember, they had a 25-point lead in that game. Baylor led 28-3. Oklahoma's been king of the Houdini escapes. I like Baylor to win this game, but I don't think either one of these teams will be in the college football playoff.
Number 2.
Because in the Pac-12, Utah absolutely must win tonight's championship game over Oregon and probably do so in impressive fashion. I think they will. I think their defense will stymie Oregon. They'll walk away with a pretty easy victory.
Number 1.
And so number 1, of course, the SEC title game. Can Georgia pull the upset? I don't think so. I like LSU to win this game. I think LSU would look good doing it as well. They have not stubbed their toe yet this season. I don't think that they will in this game. I think LSU is winning, means Georgia's out. I think Utah wins, which means Utah's in. I think LSU and Utah, those two games, ends up the Utes are in the college football playoff. When we come back, Urban Meyer in the NFL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.